Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
This is Danny and Dusty.
Meringutang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All fellows with monkey sounds in there called good.
The old Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon. Hey, welcome in. Happy Thursday, everybody.
Don't you tell me what to do.
No, I will tell you to be happy because this is a glorious Thursday.
It is.
It's our last show of the week.
It is.
And your second show of the week.
It's a light week for me. It's a light week.
It is a very light week.
It's a very light week for me.
Yeah, yeah. We will not be here tomorrow. Tomorrow.
These ducks.
Well, no, speak for yourselves. No. It will be prime time.
Yes,
early Isaac and Souk. They will be here.
And then Ducks.
From noon to two. And then Ducks pregame with Dirt and myself in Eugene. Anthony Newman will be here because he's got a Westland Lions football game he's got to coach. So he's not going to do the pew, 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 bouncing back and forth.
That'd be a tight schedule.
Yeah.
It would. I did it before.
Yeah.
We had, there was a Friday game. I did the pregame show down in Eugene. I got in my car because it's it's like 2 hours. You're going against all the traffic, right?
Yeah. So you're actually
going
the right
against
way.
All the traffic. And we had a game at Valley Catholic High School. So Beaverton Hillsdale Highway.
Closer, at least.
Yeah. And
didn't throw you out at
I literally parked my car and ran. And as I got to the field,
kickoff.
National anthem, and I just ran right up into the press box and took my little spot, and
we were off
and running for a kickoff.
Nice.
It was literally got there right when the game was about to start. Yeah, that was you could do it.
Got there, saluted, said God bless America, and got up in the booth.
Yeah, yeah, gave an LFG, and boom, we out. We're up in that box there. So it could be done, but Anthony has a defense he's got to coordinate. So he's going to be up here. And then we got Ducks football tomorrow. 6 o'clock kick. Oregon, Michigan State, Jonathan Smith's return. I know that there's nobody's going to do this. Are there Beaver fans that are going to go just to boo Jonathan Smith and the Ducks? It's going to be like a hate watch of hate watching, and you could do it in person.
I mean,
is that going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be some.
You got to really hate to do that.
I mean,
you seen the Vancouver Ford text line?
I was going to say, like,
I have a lot of hate in my heart.
Yeah, no.
Have you met Danny? Yeah.
Like, come on now.
This is something Danny would do.
I mean,
you would go to hate watch that.
Yeah, I mean, because it works, especially if you're a Beaver fan, it works for you either way.
Yeah.
Either the Ducks steamroll Michigan State and you get to go at Jonathan Smith and the Spartans, or the wildest thing happens and Michigan State wins and you get to at the Ducks.
Yeah.
It feels like a win-win if you're a Beaver fan.
Yeah.
Right?
It's awesome.
Either way, you get to make fun of and laugh at somebody.
Yeah. The world works in mysterious ways.
It's a nice hate-filled bowl. I like it.
Danny's got a game plan for you. You can read his manifesto, which I'm assuming he has. It's not a game plan. It is a manifesto when you get to these sorts of lines of thinking.
It's not a concept of a plan.
Yeah.
And it's about, what, probably 30,000 words, I'm assuming?
It wouldn't be brief. It wouldn't be brief. I saw a movie review. Do you guys know anybody who does like their own letterbox movie reviews? Like they fancy themselves a movie reviewer?
No.
That's a real thing.
Like, hold on.
Like people actually like...
And they just put it out to their social medias just like, or just to like a blog that nobody goes to.
Yeah. And then there's like
creedthoughts.com.
Yeah, it's that kind of thing for sure. But like... This guy was like, I took so much time and like really thought about what I thought of Megalopolis. And it's like this 5,000 word review, like he's Siskel and Ebert.
Huh.
And he goes, and this is what the one that has the most likes. And it was, instead of this 5,000 word review of Megalopolis, it was that movie sucked Megapolis.
See, that's great.
That was the entirety of the review, and it had like 8,000 stars.
Yeah, you mentioned this a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about that new Joker 2 movie that came out, and I got a guy I went to high school with. Like the closest thing when you said this is what I thought of, because I just saw it today, is the guy I went to high school with went and saw Joker 2, and his official review was... I never saw Geely, but Joker 2 was worse.
Ooh.
Geely, the Jennifer Lopez banger, which is widely viewed as one of the worst movies ever made.
Well, was that the one where she and Ben Affleck met?
I think it is, or it's like right after. Yeah,
well, didn't they do like that in was it the Wedding Planner? I don't know, man. I'm not.
The Bennifer timeline's interesting.
Yeah.
Both of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Oh, boy.
But yeah, when I saw
Ben Affleck is in that.
Yeah.
2003 Geely, it gets a 6% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Ooh.
Good Lord.
A 2.6 out of 10 on IMDb.
Oh, God. Like, do you know how much you have to suck to be that low?
Metacritic gives you 18%.
Oh, my God. Like,
the great suck-off?
Yes, exactly. Have you seen the Pooniverse?
Excuse me?
I'm sorry, what's that?
Pooniverse.
Oh, okay.
Mm-mm.
I need you to do me a favor right now, because I will not describe it for you.
Okay.
I need you to type in, like, poo as in Winnie the Pooh.
I don't.
Pooniverse.
I don't.
Do it. Just do it.
Right, show research.
I need to get live reactions to this.
Averse. Okay.
It is
Pooniverse Monsters Assemble, a twisted childhood universe. Oh.
Remember when the copyright trademark expired on Winnie the Pooh?
Yeah.
They are doing an Avengers style, like MCU, but of a horror movie.
But didn't they already make a Winnie the Pooh horror movie?
Yes, but now they're doing the Pooniverse, which is like all of them.
Oh, boy.
And I think I applaud how far they're willing to take this. This is a level of just depravity and...
I'm here for it.
Right?
Yeah, if you don't have to pay the rights and you just want to make your, you know...
Evil Piglet?
Yeah.
Christopher Robin
your
has been
murdered. B-movies? Go ahead and do it.
These are D-movies.
Okay, your D-movies.
But you know what? I bet you that Winnie the Pooh horror flick has a higher review than Geely.
Like, the only thing that I hope they do is, like, is somehow, some way, everybody gets saved by Eeyore doing speed, and
and all of a sudden he turns into basically Speedy Gonzalez.
Yeah.
Oh, not quite.
He's just donkey kicking the fools everywhere.
It actually is. Oh, it is on par with Geely. 3% on Rotten Tomatoes, 2.9 on IMDb.
All right.
Oh, I remember the title of that one was Winnie the Pooh, The Blood, or Blood and Honey.
Yeah, that's right. Geely, though, I mean, listen to this cast. You got Ben Affleck, Jennifer Lopez, Christopher Walken. You've got Justin Bartha, name you probably doesn't sound familiar. He is the guy from National Treasure. He's Doug from The Hangover. You know what I'm talking about?
Doug.
Yeah, he's his name's Riley. Riley in National Treasure.
Yeah, okay.
Where they steal the Declaration of Independence. Ever heard of it?
Mm.
He's in that movie.
Al Pacino.
And it sucks. So, can't hit bangers all the time.
It made $7.2 million.
Geely did?
Yeah.
Wow.
Holy crap.
Yeah, look at that. Well, you know what it made? Love.
You know, I mean, I guess if you're going to bomb
spectacularly.
Bomb in a glorious fashion, anatomically, right?
Mm-mm. I'm just going to say, hey, you can't put a price on love. And that's what it gave us.
I mean, you can. It gave $7.2 million because they divorced.
Bennifer. Well, that divorce probably far more than $7.2 million.
Holy.
Is there a person who gets caught by the paparazzi that always looks as miserable as Ben Affleck?
That one where he opens the door for
all of them.
The recent one. You've seen the recent one, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Like, an alleyway.
Tired of your ass. Yeah, I mean, the one where he's standing outside with his head up.
Every husband has gone through that open the door sequence at some point. Mm-hmm. And you just like, yeah, I know that. But it looks like because he's caught like this all the time, that is not a one-off. That is like the default setting. Wait,
so his character name in that movie is Larry Geely.
Yeah.
It just doesn't seem like Larry doesn't seem like it goes with a Geely.
Well, it's Leonardo, but Larry for short.
Yeah.
Or like maybe a Lorenzo.
Laird.
Mm-mm. Just.
Laird Geely.
Lawrence Geely.
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm. It's Lair Bear, and he goes by Larry for short.
Oh, speaking of names, I sent it to you guys. My wife finally chimed in such timely fashion that was very good for the radio yesterday.
No, Merton.
I'm kidding. On Merton, Merton Daniel Meringue, she said, I don't like it. It sounds like Milton, stapler guy.
Still, great name. Mm. Merton Daniel Meringue, that is strong. That is presidential, dare I say.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. You go into politics or like law and you become M. Daniel Meringue.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Or M. D. Meringue.
It's like M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah.
Merton D. Meringue.
Yeah. Merton D. You know, or if he gets like, you know, I don't know, goes down a bad path, you can just call him like Doc.
Yeah.
You know, Doc Meringue, M. D.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, if he becomes festively plump, you can call him M&Ms. You know?
I mean,
you know, I mean, there's
hopefully he takes after the wife, and that's not an
there's
issue.
He might be genetically predisposed.
He might be a large man.
There's range here with this name, you know, a little Murdy.
Look, I wrote it in the book.
I mean, Murdy seems like he's a fullback. You know, Murdy Meringue?
I mean,
dude! Yeah. Wearing a neck roll? Yeah. Just sitting there playing fullback, Murdy Meringue!
Number 44 in your program.
Yeah. 48.
Number 48.
48.
Yeah.
It's the first number I wore.
He's number 48 in your program, number one in your hearts and fears, Murdy Meringue. Yeah.
I'll give him my old neck roll. Huh? Pass it off like a little ceremony.
Talking about.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote it down in the book.
Yeah, oh, you have a what?
The name book. The wife has a little notepad.
Oh, okay.
She wanted to start doing this.
Mm.
And she's like, you're going to write that in there? I go, yeah, I'll write it in there.
That's the thing about when you start trying to decide names for a kid, you realize exactly how many people you hate and you don't want to name them that name.
Yeah, yep, that's happened.
Try marrying a teacher, guys.
Oh, God, so many names ruined.
Mm-hmm. This a bunch of nope.
Yeah.
No, that kid's a turd, not a chance in hell.
Not gonna do
that. At least that's all the trendiest names, though, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Going down.
it eliminates all those.
My two kids, names that nobody else names their kids. My kids' names are Evelyn and Bennett. Like, we had to go deep into the bag.
Oh, when I first brought up Sadie for our first kid to my wife, she's like, that's what people name their dog.
Sadie that is a popular dog name.
That is a popular dog name.
But we still got it.
So is Tanner.
A girl.
Yeah.
God. Awful.
Do you know what the number one, the most popular name for boys born right now is?
Liam.
Yes.
Laser.
It's Liam.
Damn.
It is Liam.
Thought Laser was going to be it.
For a while, I think it was like Oliver.
Yes. Number three.
Yeah.
Yeah. Elijah. Theodore's making a comeback. Sebastian. Weirdly enough, Daniel, 17.
Really?
Yeah, because when I grew up, there was no other Dans. Like, it was just, like, yeah. I might have been one of two Daniels in all of Beaverton High School, which had, like, 3,700 people, which was kind of weird.
Oh, dude. Great text. Vancouver 4 text line 503-864-6326. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them online at vancouverford.com.
Daniel, son!
Merton Daniel Morang, he needs to wear number 20. He can go by MD 2020.
Yeah.
His nickname's the Mad Dog.
Yeah.
What?
Mad Dog Meringue.
What?
It works. Look, even if we don't go with Mert, I might just have to do the MD
version. If he has red hair, I'm calling him Orange. If he has red hair, I'm calling him Orange Jubilee all day long.
Guess what number? I'm not even gonna guess. Number 37, most popular boys' names right now. What? Maverick.
Yeah. Yeah, that was on our list.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Mav?
We were going to go down.
I had
Maverick on the list, and then my wife didn't want to go Top Gun. And
I
still resent her for that. So, I don't know. I was also down for Jet.
Hey, Bennett, number 74.
Making a comeback.
Weston. Weston. Yeah.
Like the that's hotels?
Country. Yeah. That's country. Yeah, that one makes sense.
Yeah. All right.
I'm not seeing anything on here that's Gale.
Where's Laser? Ooh.
Not on here. No lasers.
What are people doing?
There's probably too many trendy ways to spell that one, you know? Oh, do you go S? Do you go Z? Do you go L-A-Y-Z-E-R?
No, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
People will get all cutesy with it.
Arlo?
Yeah, Jeff.
Also on the list? River?
Yep, River's it was a popular one.
Atlas.
Dude, okay, so I'm that's sitting here throwing name out American Gladiators names, and you guys are like, that's crazy. Atlas? He was an American Gladiator.
Oh, yeah. Also, historical figure. Mythology.
No, if you're naming your kid Atlas, it's not because of Greek mythology. It's because you grew up watching American Gladiators.
Well,
that's it.
Either that or, you know, you name your kid Atlas, and that might get a collective shrug.
Yep.
503-864-6326. That's Vancouver Ford text sign. That was a great. That was a rustism. A lot of people. That one went over their head.
Probably.
That was good though.
Yeah.
I see what you did there.
Not a lot of names though. In the top here that start with M.
That's why Merton is badass.
Yeah, Malachi. Malachi's a good one.
Yeah. No, that's the redheaded kid in Children of the Corn.
Yeah.
He's creepy as hell.
Can't do
which
that.
Is funny because also they have Lucian, which you know. That's kind of the same thing.
Got Damien in there, too.
Yeah.
With
an E. Also in here. Actually, literally, right here at number 179. Hey, there are some names in here that I'm just like...
Yeah.
Dude's named Lauren, but not spelled the way typical way. L-A-U-R-E-N. I had a buddy of mine named Lauren, L-O-R-E-N.
All right.
But... That's a
tough one. Really go down these name roads. This is day two in a row. You've gone down the name road.
Look, man, you know. It's going to be a big deal here soon.
All right.
I know.
Okay. I'm in. Wait, what? Is there breaking news?
No.
Did we just have breaking news?
No.
Did we just have breaking news?
Not that soon.
We spraining news here?
No.
All right.
No.
All right. Well, I mean, congrats.
Breaking news from 1080 The Fan.
That's not what I thought it was.
Darn it.
I was going to go for the breaking news sounder.
Yeah, we know what you were trying to do. Yeah.
All right. Let's go to break, huh?
Yeah.
All right, coming up today, we've got our NFL picks at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. We went from ice cold to we did well last week. We did well last week.
Little bounce back.
Hot little week. Hot
I went 1-2-1, I think.
Well, some of us had a hot little week. Hot little week. We got a lot of NFL and college football that we need to get to because it is our last show of the week. Isaac and Suk will be here from noon to 2 tomorrow before Ducks pregame starts. So we need to get in our weekend of college football and NFL previews. And week 5 in the NFL gets going tonight. And it's amazing how fast this has gone. Danny Dusty on the Fan.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age, wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Seems crazy that we're already in week 5 of the National Football League.
Quarter poll's done, man.
Yeah. Yeah, first quarter of the season is over, and this year has been really clunky NFL-wise with slow starting with scoring-wise. Touchdowns were way down early. We've kind of seen the ship righted as far as there's more touchdowns being scored. Just don't watch Denver and the Jets play. But other than that, you do have... Scoring has, we've seen an uptick there.
When you were out the other day, I had an article that from SIS Sports that was a deep dive into red zone efficiencies in the NFL and why it has seen this rather precipitous drop over the last couple of years, even more so this year than in before. And for the first time in a very long time, teams are significantly more successful running the ball in the red zone than they are passing it. Like it was like I want to say from year to year, it was like a 12 or 13% swap, which is massive when you're looking at like the changes year to year. And it wasn't on anything in particular as it pertained to passing. Like it was across the board. It did not matter if it was out routes, out breaking routes, in breaking routes, deep routes, short routes, medium routes, early throws, medium throw, or, you know, like time to throw. Like it did not matter. Everything was down on the passing side. across the board, across the NFL. Meanwhile, teams that could run in the red zone were wildly more successful. And it's been a trend that has been heading that way for the last couple of years, but it has taken a massive shift over the last 2 years.
Well, that's something that we've been talking about for a long time, though, is that lighter boxes, lighter players, you can run the ball more effectively, especially when you run a lot of 12 personnel, one back, two tight ends. You see 13 personnel in the goal lines now. Teams are carrying more tight ends, and you're able to create leverage that way, and coaches are getting a lot more wise to it, especially when you've got to put guys out on an island, man, and you can spread defenses out, but also not compromise the fact that you can run the ball. I think that's kind of been the biggest thing that we've seen with the change in offense and the way that it's played, especially as you condense the field down and it gets shorter and shorter, right? Teams can cap with two deep, but you also have as the outside of the red zone. But as you get closer and closer, right, you would think that defense is easier to play. Well, nope, because you have to then load the box with lighter players. Everything is built to go sideline to sideline and make sure you don't get beat deep on your defense. Well, when it comes rubber meets the road, field gets shorter, you need to run the football. The dudes have changed. The body types have changed. What you're asking your elite defenders to do is so much different now, because edge rushers are pin your ears back, bend the corner, get to the quarterback, right? The elite ones, TJ Watt, he can do both. He can play against the run and he can get to the quarterback, right? Max Crosby can defend the run and get to the quarterback. But you're talking about the elite of the elite, right? Like, that is the biggest issue. That is, and it's similar to the tight end position, right? Where sometimes they're blockers, sometimes they're passers. But the elite ones can do both of it, right? But as defense, you're asking guys to specialize more and more on the defense side of the ball. Then, and Dan Lanning said something really interesting. Lanning was asked by Joey Mack, what position has changed the most in football over the last 20 years? And he said linebacker, because of what they are asked to do. What they are asked to do is completely foreign to what they were doing 20 years ago, because they are there's a demand so much more to be effective in coverage than previously. It was like, fill a gap, fill a hole, go,
play a little bit of zone. Now there's like, use your head. Five linebackers in the entire NFL that never leave a field, and it's like Fred Warner and, you know, a couple others.
But with that position and what you're asked to do, also, you've got to be responsible for, as I started this with, you know, you're playing 12 and 13 personnel where you have two and three tight ends on the field. You have a linebacker who's responsible for those guys. If they are a threat to catch the football, then that makes it a lot harder to defend the run, right? And the way that these teams and these offensive minds scheme up your play action, your gimmick plays, where you're going to have release a tight end, he's going to block down for a second and a half, and then he's going to pop one over the top. It's crazy.
Real quick, guess who the number one coverage linebacker is according to PFF?
Fred Warner.
Hey, there it is. Yeah. The grades drop off pretty precipitously after him. He's got a coverage score of 94.5. Eric Wilson at 90.2, Quincy Williams 89.1, Ola Kuhn at 87.2, and Jack Sanborn at 86.8. After that, you start dropping into the 70s and 60s real quick. There's just only so many guys in the NFL who can be that coverage guy, while also, like, what, three of those guys are every down play. Like, you just look at the snaps, and it's just, it's you've got guys that are coming on the field essentially as like a nickel linebacker, but otherwise they're not out there. And for nearly, like, Fred Warner is so much further ahead of everyone else, it's actually kind of staggering.
It's an oddity now.
Yeah.
It truly is. It's an oddity in the world of football, and that's just so different. And the crazy thing is that the rosters have barely been expanded, right? You're asking guys to specialize more and more, and scoring is down. Like, scoring is down, but more guys are playing than ever before. You would think as you rotate more guys in, right, scoring would go up. Offense would be better. Yeah.
But everybody, but everybody's rotating.
I wonder what would happen if they truly did just say, all right, we're expanding not from like 53 to 56. If they said
like 65,
we're going to go 65 guys and just say boom, 65. Owners would hate it because that means they have to pay people money.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, well, how much better would the product be?
Probably a lot better.
It would be a lot better.
It's probably a little less taxing. And just to give Fred Warner some props, he's also the number 3 rated run defense linebacker in the NFL, according to PFF. Only Bobby Wagner and Micah McFadden are in front of him.
Dang, bro.
Yeah. It's good. It's good to be Fred Warner.
It. You know what? It's probably great to be Fred Warner. Great to be Fred Warner.
I think
Warner.
J.D. Bertrand is the only linebacker that I'm seeing in here outside of Warner that rated in the top 20 in pass coverage, also in the top 25 in run defense. Oh, there's Quincy Williams. So he's just on the outside of 27. So, like, your best probably two-way linebackers in the, or you know, two-dimensional linebackers in the NFL are Fred Warner and Quincy Williams.
Godly.
Weirdly enough.
Godly. All right. Well, Thursday Night Football starts week 5 in the NFL.
It does.
Tonight. And it's a, dare I say,
a delectable game.
Good game. Good game. You have Kirk Cousins and the Atlanta Falcons taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
The dirtiest of birds.
Stop me if you've heard this before.
Mm.
A team quarterbacked by Kirk Cousins can beat the teams, but really struggle against good ones.
And in primetime.
Do we see that again tonight? First, is the name appropriating Jeff with SportsCenter? I'm not going to let that go. I'm not going to let that go, Jeff with the J. Kirk Cousins and the Atlanta Falcons, 2.5-point favorites over the Buccaneers tonight, Thursday Night Football. Oh, prime video.
Fade him.
Yeah. Oh, Baker, touchdown maker, and the Bucs, underdogs. And Tampa, only loss of the season. Probably the most confusing game of this year.
For sure.
Just getting steamrolled by the Denver Broncos 26-7.
Just one of those weird things that happens in the NFL every season. There's a reason why nobody ever goes perfect, because stuff happens.
Yeah.
You know, those are the games that pop up and we go, what the hell is this?
Yeah, that's the beauty of the NFL, though, is that you never know when those games are coming either. Like, they just pop up and you go, oh, really? They're paid professionals too, huh?
Yeah, well, I mean, you get the vibes, you get the injuries, you also get teams overlooking teams, even though they're pros.
Yeah.
And you get, you know, sometimes certain teams in certain cities have better nightlife than others.
Oh, you're going to say the Tampa Bay strip club's got the Denver Broncos all riled up,
I'm
huh?
I'm just going to say, you know, when you're coming down, when you're leaving Denver to head on down to Tampa, basically one of the better times of the year.
I would have thought that would make them, you know, sleepy.
Well, it depends, you know.
A little hungover.
Or, you know, sometimes, you know, if you win, you get to stay over in the night and wait until the morning, perhaps.
What? You know, what do you mean by that?
Just hang out for a little bit. Catch up on the next flight out.
I don't think that's how it works.
No.
On team flights.
No.
I don't think that's how they do it. I don't think that's how they do it.
You don't think it's ever happened?
I think it has happened at some point. I don't think it happens on week 3 of the regular season.
I think it happens probably more often than not in Tampa and Miami.
Oh, yeah. Well, you usually have to get back. Usually Monday's your day, or Tuesday's your day off.
Yeah, that's true.
So you have to get back, treatment Monday, and then Tuesday you get off.
True.
You know?
To avoid this.
That's why you get the whole, we'll see you Tuesday, and the whole crowd, the locker room goes crazy because they give you Monday off, and Tuesday off. What? And then it's back to work. This game, though, I've just been thinking about Kirk Cousins. So the Atlanta Falcons this year, off to a respectable 2-2 start. Their two losses, week 1, Pittsburgh Steelers, 18-10. Remember that field goal fest?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty gross. And then they lost 22-17 to the Kansas City Chiefs. Okay, close game. Close game. Still lost. Their wins this year, every game has been a one-score game. 22-21 in Philly, 26-24 over the Saints. There was this thought and this idea that with the weapons that Atlanta has, with a new offensive coordinator and Arthur Smith being, I don't know, annexed to Pittsburgh, All of a sudden, Kirk Cousins was going to fix things. Bijan Robinson, Drake London, Ray-Ray McCloud, Kyle Pitts. All these guys were going to be just game changers, and all these first-round picks were going to start to click. That has not been the case so far.
Hmm.
Meanwhile, Sam friggin' Darnold is 4-0 with the Minnesota Vikings, Kevin O'Connell, without Jordan Addison, without TJ Hawkinson.
With a banged-up Justin Jefferson, too.
Yeah. And they're just rolling right along.
Flinging that thing all over the field.
Slinging that leather. But this is...
Can I interest you in...
Why are we buying Kirk Cousins turning things around?
Because he's good enough and they do have weapons, at least in theory, is Kyle Pitts, through four games, has eight catches for 105 yards. I still don't understand that. Drake London and Darnell Mooney are certainly productive. I mean,
Drake London has been
very good.
Very good.
I mean, the route, who was it? Whose ankles did he break on that out route that won them the game? Oh, God. Was that Gardner Johnson?
I don't know.
I can't remember. But London has come up huge. Darnell Mooney had a couple catches down the sideline in that game that pushed them down the field before London got in. And, you know, they've shown when they play free and loose, particularly in the two-minute setting, that they're real good.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, if we just do the things that we know that we're good at, which is, you know, get the ball out quickly to guys who can make plays, shockingly, wow. And defensively, I mean, we've talked about the Falcons team as like one of the more underrated units in the NFL. Like, if you look at every level for them, they've got dudes everywhere. They've got playmakers at every level of defense, and you're just kind of like, this should be a team that's probably better than they are. They're not bad, but it just feels like, eh. And I can't remember who I was listening to. It was last night or this morning. There is apparently not a Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers situation between Cousins and Penix. It's much more cordial, and Cousins is...
Well, of course, Kirk Cousins is not going to be Brett Favre.
No, but he does. There's been apparently some talk that he's not thrilled.
Well, yes.
I mean, for obvious reasons, but like... It's maybe been a little rougher around the edges than they would have liked. But I guess that's what happens when you sign a guy to a massive deal. It's guaranteed money coming off an Achilles injury and then draft his replacement like a month later.
Right there is the big thing about Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is good enough to guide your team. He can make big time throws.
Hell, he can get you the playoffs.
His contract can't help you win at the highest levels. Like, look at what Minnesota is now doing with a $10 million quarterback in Sam Darnold and able to win. Like, it's almost as if we've been saying this for years. Mm-hmm. And it's almost as if when he went down to Atlanta, everybody went, that's the move?
Mm.
Like, that, you think that's going to be the one that gets you over the hump? Because you're going to give him the bag. They did give him the bag. And it still is the same story kind of repeating itself over and over again. Because what were the Minnesota Vikings able to do this offseason? They were able to go out, fix a lot of the holes on their defense, mm-hmm. because you have a quarterback making $30 million less than the guy who was there last year.
Super useful.
Yeah. Jonathan Greenard, pretty good. Mm-hmm. You did lose somebody down to Houston. You have ended up backfilling the rest of your roster with the pieces that can get you over the top. And that has always been the thing about Kirk Cousins. It's like, why do people hate Kirk Cousins so much? No, it's not that you hate Kirk Cousins. It's that you hate the team that signed him to the deal. Because Kirk Cousins is not changing. We know he's never going to change. His limitations are always going to be the exact same. Yet, Minnesota gave him fully guaranteed money. They gave him a lot of money. They finally said, looked in the mirror and said, this isn't working for us. We've got to make a change. And it was going into the abyss of, we're going to draft a rookie quarterback. We're going to sign a journeyman and hope for the best. The Minnesota Vikings felt that was a better option than giving the bag to Kirk Cousins again. And now Atlanta is going down the exact same path. And that doesn't mean that Atlanta won't make the playoffs this year because, as you said,
this is a bad quarterback.
No, it's that you hamstring yourself as a franchise.
And this is something you and I have talked about really a lot over, I think, the last 18 months. And that is, not necessarily the dollar amount, because the dollar amount's going to keep going up. Everybody who gets starts getting sticker shock over contracts, blah, blah, blah. Salary caps are just going up across sports.
Yep.
We just haven't hit the bubble yet.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the percentage of cap. And that's the thing when you start talking about whether it's NBA or NFL. It's the same thing.
Faux show.
But the allocation of that. And my pushback over the last couple, you know, last 8-10 months has been the wide receiver market. The quarterback market, it feels like unless you have one of the top three or five, you just can't. Like, we're seeing it with Daniel Jones. We're seeing it with Kirk. Like, you, Tua, even. Like, I think I don't want to put him in this group yet, but I think we're seeing it start perhaps with Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, his addiction to turnovers. We'll see what when he gets AJ Brown and Devontae Smith back.
Yes, and that's what I'm saying. That's why I said I think we're starting to see it perhaps with Jalen Hurts. But unless you have Mahomes, Burrow, Allen, Lamar, Dak, not worth it. Tua, not worth it, and that's the injuries. Jalen Hurts, probably not worth it unless you have the weapons around him. Kirk, not worth it, because you're seeing the level of quarterback play in that mid-tier. Geno Smith, Sam Darnold, reclamation projects, Jared Goff. I mean, Goff got paid, but he was in that kind of like, is he that guy?
But he earned it.
But he went out and earned it.
Yep.
And I think you're starting to see, much like wide receiver play is getting so much better in the NFL, quarterback play is getting better because those quarterbacks or those wide receivers are working with those quarterbacks all the time now.
I think just as wide receivers, there's only a handful that you should pay. Yep. And what screws it up for everybody is always a team that goes, well, we got to do it. And we got to push that guy into that orbit. And it hamstrings your franchise. And there is that. Yep. Next up, there is the whole, as a insert position here, mm-hmm. I don't want to hurt the rest of my insert position here. I'm going to go and take the best deal available. I'm the next guy up.
Which is hilarious because you know what you could say if you're somebody else is, I'm not him. Right. Like we always have to operate like you have to take the next because that's what it means more for the next guy. It's like...
Yeah, like who's going to be the receiver? It's like, yeah, man, I'm not Justin Jefferson though. So, you know? I'm going to have to take less.
Look, there's been plenty of guys like who have taken, like just said, hey, no, this is enough.
Yeah,
I'll never forget, and it's not the same because he was younger and his career hasn't worked out the same for him because of injuries. But Nasir Little, he got his deal, which was $28 million, and everyone's like, why did he take that money? And I remember asking Nas about it, the deal, and you know, congratulating him on. He's like, look, man, if you had told 18-year-old me that I could sign a contract that guaranteed me $28 million, I don't care.
I'm taking it,
and I think that mentality is actually a lot more pervasive than players are willing to admit, but they've got agents advising, no, you have to take every penny on the table. It's like,
yeah, agents suck, dude.
I mean, I get they're advocating for you and they are, but I think that there is a world that exists where you go, I mean, how many quarterbacks have taken less? It happens. Now you get it on the back.
Well, I mean, Sam Darnold, but that's not taking less. It's like not having a spot to go.
But even Mahomes.
Yeah.
Even though he took it, it was a massive deal.
It was a $500 million deal.
But it was also, if you took a look at the actual market, he could have gotten more. When we talked about that deal when it happened, and it was like, he could have gotten more, but because it was over, because of the guarantees and the years, it went out so far, it was like, yeah, now it looks like a bargain.
At the time, it was, this will be a bargain eventually, but there are a couple of years where it hits you.
I mean, it's going to hurt on the back end, for sure. Those deferments are going to be nasty, and that's a lot of escrow.
Yeah, you don't sign a $500 million deal and not have it be punitive to your team, unless it's like a 30-year deal.
Bobby Bonilla.
This was 10.
Yeah.
This was 10. Next year, do you know what Patrick Mahomes' salary cap hit is?
Oh, my gosh. He deferred like over the next 2 years a ton, so I'm going to say it's like 34.
Nope. $66 million.
Okay, is this next
2026
is when it goes up.
$68 million.
Okay.
2027, $64 million. It's currently 37.
Okay, so that's what it is. Okay.
So they're gonna have to pay the piper at some point.
It's at some point.
You just kick the can down the road. That's all teams do. All right. Great text, Vancouver Ford text line 503-864-6326. With everything you're saying, I think the Falcons are still better off than they were with Desmond Ridder.
Oh God, yes.
Yeah. Yeah,
it doesn't matter if it's objectively bad.
But this Falcons team is not a turn the corner, be great team. Hey, let's do some round ball stuff next, huh?
Ooh.
There's a couple of news nuggies that I want to get to, and we need to get to, including Karl-Anthony Towns' trade has been officially completed, and Dante DiVincenzo and Julius Randle might be hostages next on The Fan. All right, there is basketball going on. There's a couple of newsy, notey little things about training camps.
It is officially basketball season, indeed.
No, it's not. Julius Randle and Dante DiVincenzo, they were rolled out as Minnesota Timberwolves for the first time because they were part of the Karl-Anthony Towns trade. Karl-Anthony Towns, now a New York Knicks.
Yeah, he had to wait for a couple billion things to have happened to make the trade actually official.
Like Tom Thibodeau going, I'm going to murder him?
No, they got clearance on that, but because of the new CBA, I'm going to get real granular here real quick. You can't aggregate the minimum salary guys anymore, so they had to buy out a guy from overseas and then give him a minimum salary plus $1 and then do the same thing with another guy and then put them together to reach the levels that they needed to do to get the CBA or get the transaction to be CBA certified.
Yikes.
It's very, this new CBA is going to get blown up. Shout out to CJ McCollum for just getting just a great deal done.
Okay.
Just, it's awful on every level.
I watched tidbits of the Julius Randle, Dante DiVincenzo
introductory press conference.
Those guys look like they were just sent to hell.
I mean, they were just sent from New York City to Minneapolis.
And they look like they were guys that do not want to be in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
I mean, everybody talks about people not wanting to be in Portland. Minneapolis gets disgustingly cold.
Yeah.
I mean, negative 20, you know, degrees and snow and ice piled up. And it's like, look, it can be a cool city. Don't get me wrong. Super multicultural. It's a bigger city. But
well,
like,
at least basketball season isn't during the winter.
You don't spend your time.
Like, and look, Portland is not a place that people really want to go to. We know that. No. We don't sign free agents. Yeah. The looks on their faces, the only thing that I've seen in Portland relatively close to that is when Neil O'Shea was taking his drink of water, the please save me PR people. Mm-hmm. That is the closest thing. And that's what they look like during their introductory
Dante
press conference.
Dante looked actively angry.
Yeah. That's not going to go well. How's this going to work out from a basketball perspective, though? I mean, because Karl-Anthony Towns, that's how you're going to get over the hump in New York?
I mean, they do need shooting. And having shooting with size, and Karl-Anthony Towns is the best, probably, big man three-point shooter in the history of the league. Like, I don't, he likes to qualify it as, I'm the best big man shooter. No, you're not. Dirk Nowitzki exists. Yeah. You're nowhere even close to him. Please stop doing that. But from the three-point line, he has a legitimate argument. And okay. That and what that allows them to do offensively and the pressure that takes off Jalen Brunson working in the two-man game and the space that allows him to work with is pretty substantial. Now, you also are paying Kat an exorbitant amount of money. You're going to be in salary cap hell after his contract, OG's contract, Mikal Bridges' contract, Jalen Brunson's contract, even with Brunson taking a discount. I do have to applaud James Dolan and the Knicks and Leon Rose for doing this in the sense of they swapped their bad contract and player that didn't fit for a worse contract for a player that they think fits better. And with, again, talking about how prohibitive the CBA is, I think this is about the best. It was probably the best move for both teams considering the goals that both teams had because the Timberwolves wanted off. Do not get it twisted. This isn't a situation where they're like, oh, we think Julius Randle's a better player. No, they don't. They absolutely unequivocally do not think that. Kat is a better player, but financially 100%. They were in hell. Like, Julius Randle and Rudy Gobert is a horrendous fit. Like, Kat and Gobert, not a great fit, but what can Kat do? Step out and spread the floor and allow Gobert to work as the rim runner. Julius Randle, his career three-point percentage, I want to say it's like 32%. It might have raised it up over a couple years, but it was not great the last time. Because I remember looking at this like, the Blazers could maybe look at him. Career three-point percentage, 33.
I think that what we see, though, is one thing that made the Knicks so special last year was they had a culture and they had a group of guys that all bought in. And DiVincenzo was a massive part of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when those guys, you start mixing or messing with the pH balance of that locker room's water, right?
I will say this, though. There were rumblings about DiVincenzo not being happy about being like the Nova Knick that didn't get the love because it was Brunson, yeah, Hart and Bridges.
Well, now you're bringing in, if that is going to be the sensitivity that they're upset, mm-hmm, about, okay, let me one up you with Carl Anthony Towns, mm-hmm, who pouts during games.
Yes. And who Tibbs wanted to throw into a wood chipper the last time he coached him.
Yeah.
And I mean, look, this is such a delicate thing because Cat has been through hell personally off the court.
Well, you can separate that.
But I mean, it does kind of impact because people call him soft and people call him weak and people say that he has no heart. And you, on the basketball court, you have multiple instances to point to that. Now, mm-hmm, if he's relegated to like the third or fourth most important person on that team, does that change? You know, I mean, Cat is, if James Harden didn't exist, Cat would have the worst ratio of level of getting paid to playoff performance bombs, mm-hmm, of anyone in modern NBA history.
Yep.
Now, he changed that narrative a little bit this last year with the Timberwolves. Now, he had two absolutely horrendous games, but then he also saved them. So maybe that was enough to convince Tibbs to be like, hey, maybe he found it.
I'm not buying it.
I'm not either, because the overwhelming evidence is he's one of the worst playoff performers for a big-time money earner ever.
Yeah.
So I feel sorry the most in this whole thing, though, for Timberwolves fans.
Yeah.
Because you had a team that was probably your most forward momentum, like kind of traction gaining team ever in your franchise's history. And at the first chance to get off money, you did.
All right. Let's get back to football. College football weekend. I have a mind-bending stat for you next. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.